Good afternoon, Danny.
Afternoon. How we doing, guys?
We're doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good.
Looking for a big Arkansas win this weekend. Can they win in the Swamp?
Yeah, I think they can. I'm never really one to bet against the Hogs, but, boy, it's going to be tough. You know, they've never done it, haven't even beaten them since they've joined the SEC. And I'm not sure this is the team I'd put money on to go down there and do it. But at the same time, you know, I was listening to you guys talk about the Florida defense. I think those numbers are just a little bit skewed. You know, they've only played four games. You look at some of their competition, Toledo, not the greatest offense. Kentucky is a hot mess. Miami, you know, Miami's a pretty decent team, but they only put up 16 on those guys. And then there was one more, Tennessee. You know, they got drilled by Oregon and barely got by South Alabama this past week. So I'm not convinced, you know, that Florida's played the best competition so far.
I would agree with you there. When you look at Tennessee and Kentucky, the one thing, the best team they played, they only put up 16 points on offense, and mm-hmm. and I believe that's the game Driscoll got hurt. So, no, Driscoll got hurt Tennessee game. Yeah, so okay. I think Murphy though is an upgrade. I think the Dominique Easley guy that got hurt, I think that helps Arkansas, but. Man, it's going to be tough. It could be a race to 20 points.
Yeah.
Be interesting to just see. The main thing for us is getting in third and manageable situations, being able to run the ball and stop the run for them, I think, because both teams are going to want to run the ball. And if we can get in those third and fours, third and fives, and convert, that gives us a good chance. If we can't, you know, if you look, I think, you know, turnovers and other things, but if you look at the final stat sheet and it says Arkansas was 60% on third down, I say we can win. But if we're 20%, you know, I don't think we can win.
Hey, I'm with you on that, Matt. And let me say this too. Brandon Allen, you know, of course he was injured there for a couple of weeks, but he's been steady so far, but he really hasn't had that opportunity to really put the team on his shoulders and go out there and make those two or three big plays in the passing game. He's going to have to do that this week, in my opinion, to, you know, late fourth quarter drives. If he can't convert, they have no chance. So he's going to have to step up and become more of a game changer, I would think.
1-800-477-1037, 433 if you have a question, 433-1037 if you have a question for Danny West. Let's start off today with Travis in the Rock. Travis, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime. Okay, Travis hung up. Let's try Danny and Sherwood. Danny.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, I just got a few things. Even Danny West can chime in on it. Wally had stated that, you know, he left Louisville. Louisville was lucky to have the Petrino's talent there. They were very fortunate. Petrino had no business being at Louisville for a long period of time. Atlanta, Arthur Banks, fired Dan Reeves three games into the last season. The loyalty in the NFL is terrible. You're only as good as if you're not injured. So for Petrino to just be picked out because he quit on his team, there's a lot of things that happened to Atlanta that he wasn't aware of, and Wally would leave, you would leave, everyone would leave, I would think. After what they did to Petrino on that. I'm not a Petrino fan anymore. I've gotten over him. But when you go to Louisville, I mean, when you go to USC and you want a squeaky, clean program, the environment in USC is not squeaky clean. It can turn you into something you're not, and it can cause you to have a lot of problems, and it can cause, you know, scandalous. It's scandalous you. That's what it is there. So, you know, Petrino, it doesn't make any sense to not have him. He is the mastermind. He's extremely talented, and he could beat Oregon. He could play for a national title, and I'm about to win one. But I think it's a no-brainer to hire him. And it just makes no sense that he gets labeled for this NFL, he quit on his NFL team, when they do that to players every year, and they do that to coaches every year. So I just wanted your thoughts on that.
All right. Thank you, Danny.
Yeah, thank you. I really think that if he wanted to, you know, whoever they hire, if he could be the offensive coordinator, that could work. I just don't see them hiring him as the head coach. If he wanted to, if he thinks Western Kentucky is his best chance to get another Division I, a better job in a couple years, then okay. If you think that being the offensive coordinator at USC would be your best chance of getting another Division I job at a high level, which I do. You know, I don't know who's going to get the job, and a lot of times coaches move in packs. You know, somebody gets the job, they know who they want. But if he was the OC there, I could see that happening. And, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later, he could be have a head coaching job somewhere.
Let's head to Robert in The Rock. Robert, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Thanks for taking my call. Say, Danny, if you remember when Coach Bielema first came here, and Petrino had already recruited about maybe 20 kids, and the first thing he did was he went through that list and he cut like 6 of them off and replaced them with what appears to be better athletes, which, you know, I'm glad he did because, you know, I wasn't really impressed with Petrino's recruiting. But will he do the same thing with his own list? Let's say those 3 athletes he signed from Louisiana. Would he possibly come along, and if he could get better athletes later on, would he cut them off and replace them with better athletes?
No, it's a good question. It's a fair question because it happens a lot, you know, in college football. Me personally, you know, just being around them a little bit, I don't think they would do that. You know, they took these guys awful early. You know, it was July when the ones that you're speaking of actually committed. They came up here to camp and proved themselves. Arkansas loved that they jumped on board at that point. So I just have a hard time believing that they would drop anyone. I think last year it was more of a talent issue. You know, John L., there for a while, they were taking anyone with a pulse, it seemed like. Now, there's some good kids that Bielema let go. He actually cut loose 9 of them. He walked in, I think they had 17 commitments, and he ended up parting ways with 9 of them. Now, I think it had more to do with talent. I mean, because if you look at where the kids ended up, Tyler Cogswell was a quarterback commitment. He ends up going to Cincinnati as a tight end. Caleb Blanchard was a supposedly a 4-star big-time running back recruit. He ends up at South Alabama now. So I think you have to look at that. DeAndre Skinner's not playing football. He was one of them. Jervinski Johnson never signed a letter of intent with anyone. So I think it had more to do with talent at the time. You know, he wanted to bring the best guys in. And right now I think he feels good about the guys he's got on board for this year.
Okay, that's a great answer. I appreciate that, and it looks like he really helped us a lot by sending those guys to other places and putting his people in there.
Yes, sir. I would agree.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate the call.
And, Danny, how often does that happen at other schools? Because I've heard, like, at Saban, I mean, it's happened at Alabama, and I do know that from my recruiting process that I would offer a scholarship by a couple different schools, and then after a couple weeks, if I hadn't committed, you know, they called up and said, hey, look, we're going to go a different route.
Sure. No, it does happen, and I think you hit on one there. Coach Saban has done that before. You know, Alabama's a little bit of a different monster, I guess you'd say. They kind of pick and choose who they want. You look at one of Arkansas's best defensive linemen right now, Darius Filon. He fell in Arkansas's lap. I'll never forget. I was walking to the press conference on signing day, and Steve Caldwell, the former defensive line coach, I heard him outside on the phone talking to Darius, and he said, hey, if they don't want you, we'll take you. And, you know, you look at him right now, he's one of the most promising young defensive prospects on your team. So the more teams that do that, I think Arkansas is kind of a program that can benefit from that.
Danny, before we head to Chris and Pine Bluff, let's talk quickly about at length about Ravion Pierce,
sure.
A Florida football player, high school player who committed to Arkansas last night, tight end. And here Arkansas getting ready to go down and play in the state of Florida. They get a big commitment from a Florida player last night.
Yeah, they got a good one, Trey. You know, he actually picked Arkansas over Florida and Miami and Marshall. Those were the three other scholarship offers that his head coach confirmed with me this morning that Ravian had. 6'4", 220, 4'5", at tight end. So he's one of those pass catchers like, a Jeremy Sprinkle, Hunter Henry type that you'd split out wide and be comfortable, you know, streaking him down the field. Same high school as Charlie Partridge. Partridge, of course, still has a lot of ties to the South Florida area and Plantation High School. So it worked out pretty well. You know, this guy, you know, he had 900 and something receiving yards last year. He had almost 20 receiving touchdowns. He's a little bit banged up right now. He's got a little bit of work to do in the classroom, but they feel like his potential's through the roof. I think they really like this kid.
Let's go to Chris in Pine Bluff. Chris, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, I just got a quick couple questions, and I'll hang up. How well was Bobby Petrino recruiting classes? Oh, you know, over the last, let's say, two or three years he was at Arkansas this last year, and I say Arkansas win by three in Florida this weekend. I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Where did they rank, Danny?
Well, they were all across the board. He had a couple of good years. I mean, if you look at recruiting rankings, it's one story. But if you look at, you know, production on the field and how many casualties each class had, I'm looking at the 2010 signing class. And, you're well under 50% now of these guys that are still on campus. A lot of disappointing prospects that came and went, but you know, he signed some good players. He loaded up at wide receiver. You wouldn't know that now being, you know, in the shape that they're in at receiver right now. But quarterbacks were always solid. He'd get an offensive lineman here or there. Running backs always seemed to be solid. But for the most part, you look across at defense, and any big-time athlete, you could guarantee he was going to put them on offense. And I think that ultimately really hurt him against some of the better, you know, defensive or offensive teams in the conference. He couldn't line up with Alabama and stop their running game. Couldn't line up with LSU. And it's in large part because he didn't have the safeties, the linebackers, to step up and go head-to-head with those guys, in my opinion.
And we know that Tenpenny, went to Alabama. He was a guy that I guess Coach Bielema really kind of got late to the party there. But I guess the question I got for you is, when you look at Coach Bielema's track record at Wisconsin, he always got the number one and number two player in that state, except for one year, I believe, a quarterback. I don't even think he offered him. But how many players did Coach Petrino lose that were some of the top players in the state? And that's what I see as being – I see a bigger – factor in that I don't think Coach Bielema will lose these type of players. That Coach Petrino, it seemed like he lost one or two players every year to somewhere else.
Yeah, they did. A few of them went to Auburn. I remember Kyle Frazier, he and Brandon Allen came out at the same time, and I think it's safe to say now, and it was probably safe to say then, that Arkansas got the better of that deal. Nothing against the Frazier family. They're very fine people, but Arkansas definitely ended up with a better football player. Mike Dyer, you know, he was a little bit of a different situation. He and Petrino never really hit it off, and I think you could probably say the same about LT Tenpenny. You know, he and Petrino just never really got that bond, that relationship that you would hope for, and that's the biggest difference with this head coach right here, Bielema. He's not going to allow that to happen. If a kid does leave the state, if a Josh Frazier goes elsewhere or next year Will Gregg goes somewhere else, it won't be because Bielema didn't get off of his couch and recruit him. He's going hard after these guys. He recruits just as hard as anyone on his staff. And I think, you know, in terms of looking back at Petrino, I think you have to consider that a bit of a breath of fresh air, so to speak.
And, Danny, I've been told that if Brett Bielema would have been here earlier than when he was and had been on Al T. Tenpenny a little bit earlier, that he would probably be a Razorback.
Yeah, I would say so. I kind of feel the same way. I've heard similar things, but at the same time, you never know if you get an Alex Collins. So it all comes out in the wash, and Arkansas certainly got a good one with Buddha.
Before we move on to basketball, talk about the visitors that were there this past weekend against A&M and what were some of their thoughts after the game.
Yeah, it was interesting. Last week on this program, we talked about, you know, what if A&M comes out and beats them soundly. Obviously, that didn't happen, and I think for the most part, recruits came away very impressed by what they saw. you know, Josh Frazier, a kid we just talked about, Stephen Parker, another four-star. You had a couple of big-time kids from the class of 2015. All of these guys told me, you know, we're extremely impressed with how fast he's getting the job done. You know, they see progression. I think it makes them excited. And for one, Josh Frazier on the defensive line, he really likes what he's seeing out of Charlie Partridge's group up front. So a lot of positives. You know, the only thing that really could have made it better would be a victory. They didn't get that, but I think things went about as well as they could this past weekend.
And, Danny, let's move on to basketball. 2014 guard Jalen Hudson is going to announce his college decision tomorrow. What kind of vibe are you getting from Mr. Hudson?
Well, I've heard a little bit of both ways. I've heard Arkansas feels good, but at the same time, also have a little bit of information that, you know, Hudson is originally from Virginia, still has a lot of family there. And I did hear that maybe some personal family things going on. I think he's got a pretty sick relative. So you never know with basketball recruits. They're a lot harder for me to predict, and I'm definitely not going to predict them either way. But Arkansas feels good about its shot. Of course, Virginia Tech, the other school that's in the mix for them, they got the most recent visit. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow afternoon, but a good player, certainly a guy that could fit well into Coach Anderson's system, 6'5", 190 combo guard out of Akron, Ohio. So we'll see tomorrow, but it'd be a big pickup for Mike. That would be their fourth commitment for this year's class.
And, Danny, I know that I guess it was Tuesday somebody called in and you had texted Trey or emailed him, but can you just go over again on that Fayetteville if he's a
receiver,
cornerback, because we had some callers about him. Is he on your Jordan, top 20 list, by the way?
Yeah, I think I've got Jordan somewhere between 10 and 12. You know, Jordan, actually, it's funny you asked. He picked up a nice offer last night. Tulsa came through with an offer, so congratulations to Jordan. For those of you who remember last year's 7A state championship game when Fayetteville won again over Bentonville, he had that big long interception return that kind of put that game away there in the second half. He's just that kind of guy. He's not the biggest. You know, he's probably about 6'1", 165, not the fastest guy, probably a 4'6", maybe a high 4'5 guy on his best day, but just hands like glue. You can't throw it. You can't throw it by the guy. If you throw it anywhere near him, he's going to come down with it. So he's a very very good prospect, and I think Tulsa would probably be a great fit for him.
Danny, when's the next time that Mike Anderson might have recruits in?
You never know. I could see – I don't think he'll do anything this weekend, but possibly in 2 weeks when Arkansas football comes back. I think he may want to –
You mean next week?
You might want to have Bud Walton ready too.
Yeah,
might want to be able to go in there.
You don't want to be practicing in the hyper building.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say you don't want anybody in there until that problem is fixed. So I'd say probably in a couple of weeks, maybe a few more visitors.
All right. And I guess Arkansas loading up visitors for South Carolina, even though it's an early game, that kind of hurts.
Yeah, they do. You know, South Carolina, they've got one of Arkansas's top prospects committed to them, Abula Man. We've talked about him several times, big-time junior college defensive tackle, committed to Carolina. Earlier this summer, Arkansas still wants him. He's still in their top 15, so I think they're going to try to get him back for an unofficial visit to watch two of his favorite teams. So that'll be interesting.
All right, Danny, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.